When I was little, my father was famous. He was the greatest samurai in the empire, and he was the shogun's decapitator. He cut off the heads of 131 lords for the shogun. It was a bad time for the empire. The shogun just stayed inside his castle, and he never came out. People said his brain was infected by devils, and that he was rotting with evil. The shogun said the people were not loyal. He said he had a lot of enemies, but he killed more people than that. It was a bad time. Everybody living in fear. But still, we were happy. My father would come home to Mother, and when he'd see her, he'd forget about the killings. He wasn't scared of the shogun, but the shogun was scared of him.
Husband.
Maybe that was the problem.
Azami.
I had a bad dream.
Don't be afraid. Bad dreams are only dreams. What a time you chose to be born, Daigoro.
At night, Mother would sing for us. Our father would go into his temple and pray for peace. He'd pray for things to get better. Then, one night, the shogun sent his ninja spies to our house. They were supposed to kill my father, but they didn't. That was the night everything changed forever.
Azami! Witchers! Azami. Azami, your dream has come true.
Daigoro, you must protect us.
They will pay. With rivers of blood.
That was when my father left his samurai life and became a demon. He became an assassin who walks the road of vengeance.
Show. I'm gonna go ahead and touch on some current events, and I'm gonna add on some stuff from other shows that I never got a chance to post, just because, you know, just due to time constraints, man. I just never got around to adding some of this stuff on to some of the past shows I've done. So yeah, some Cutting Room Floor shit gonna be on here, man. And also some current events. Let's see where I can start off first. Things that I didn't talk about that's been going on that I've neglected. Let's talk about the Ronda Rousey, man. Let's talk about that. Periodically, you know, I had cats hit me up, you know, and we are MMA junkies, MMA heads, mixed martial arts cats, man. And cats have asked me, and they asked me before this fight actually happened. I don't really talk too much about mixed martial arts on the program, but I've been following Ronda Rousey, man, since like 2009 or 2010. And me and my partner, you know, the redneck cat I always tell you guys about, that I worked in prison with, who he's a lifelong martial artist. Shit. We always talked about, we've been waiting on that meeting for a long time, man. And we always said if there was anybody that was going to do Ronda in, it would have been her. Honestly, I did not think that she was going to win just by looking at her performances in the octagon. I didn't think that Holly was going to win because her performances in the octagon was kind of like lackluster when she got to the UFC. And of course, Ronda looked so dominant in all of her fights, just from a common sense standpoint. But we always thought if there was a female that was going to clean Ronda's clock, it would have been her, man. And goddamn, boy. Jesus, man. That shit was brutal, boy. Her motherfucking stand-up game, her overall mixed martial arts game was just, it was just too much for Ronda, man. Too much for Ronda. Too much. But beyond that, what was really just... real, man, just let you know, just human nature, just how people in general are just evil, you know, just to see people turn on Ronda, man, how everybody's like really just riding her strap so hard, and then all of a sudden just turn on her, you know. And I think that's the funny thing about just people in general, man. You just, people in general, they always waiting on you to bite the dust, man. Motherfuckers love for you to crash and burn, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously, I'm not perplexed, man, because, I mean, the main thing that people are saying, like, she's a poor sport, she was talking shit, she didn't touch gloves. I'm like, well, that happens with the male fighters all the time, man, but you don't see this sort of venom and vitriol, man. You know what I mean? And if Ronda wasn't that sort of character, no one would be watching her in the first fucking place. You know what I mean? So it's just like, man, y'all motherfuckers need to get over yourself, man. You know what I mean? Ronda, keep your head up, baby. Keep your head up. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that, she was getting kind of overused by the feminist movement, man. It got kind of sickening, man. Where they would just prop her up just to be, she can do anything and she can beat everybody, and you know, but that's really no fault of her own, man. That's just media manipulation, man. You know what I mean? She's just there and they capitalized off the shit and they used her. You know what I mean? And you know, this is the backlash that you're getting. It's probably, you know, more so a backlash because of the feminists were just using her to the point of it just got nauseous. So, I mean, that aspect I can understand, you know what I mean? But goddamn, boy, everybody, I really didn't see this coming. I didn't see this much hate coming out against Ronda, man. Wow, boy. And then I don't know if y'all seen that TMZ shit where she was walking, I guess, from the airport, man. She kept her face hid and she was hugging onto her, I don't know what was her, pillows or luggage or whatever, and she just really looked sad, man. She really looked crushed. So, as far as her coming back and beating Holly, she got her work cut out for her, man, because Holly has severely affected her, just her ego, man. Just her whole confidence level, period. You know what I mean? I would have expected Ronda to, you know, pop up with bruises and welts all over her face and bragging about it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I got whooped. I got stomped. But be ready. You know, in the next 6 months, I'll be back. You know what I mean? That's the kind of shit I expect from a champion, man. But I didn't see that out of Ronda, man. I seen that, you know, she was hiding and kept her face hid. And she just really, she just looked real dejected, man. So I'm not going to jump on the fuck Ronda bandwagon. You know, still love my baby Ronda. Still, I mean, shit. I've been a fan of Holly Holm also, man. I like both these chicks, man. I think they both go-getters, man. Shit, it is what it is, you know. May the best woman win, you know, when they banging. Ah, her counter, Holly's counter-punching was ridiculous, man. It was beautiful, man. The clinch work, man, the footwork, the... Man, it was just perfect. It was absolute goddamn perfection, man. Shit. So, you know, anybody asking me about that shit, man, like, it's just unfortunate that people in general are just pieces of... just sacks of shit, man. Just fair weather friends, you know, judges. So just, they just judge you so quick, so fast, you know, no matter. Yeah. Yeah. I was riding Ronda's dick for about a couple years and then she did one thing I don't like. So fuck that bitch. Get, man, you motherfuckers, please, man. But yeah, I if they do a rematch, I don't really see Ronda winning. I don't, that's just too big of, it was too much of an ass whooping, and that's too much of a leap, too much of a skill set gap between what Ronda was trying to do and what Holly was doing, you know what I mean? It doesn't look like she can take Holly down whenever she wants, and in order for her to get in close to take her down, she's going to have to eat punches, man. And it doesn't look like Ronda can really take that sort of hammering from Holly. It was like she was, well, y'all know what I say all the time, man. I'm trying to stop niggas from running in face first into a wood chipper. That's exactly what Ronda did. She was running in face first into a goddamn wood chipper, man. Was getting shellacked on that shit, man. So I don't see it happening. You know, now that I see the full potential of Holly in the octagon, man. Like I said, her first two sojourns in the octagon in the UFC was kind of lackluster, but Ronda was too emotional. Her corner let her down. Her corner was just like, yeah, you're doing great. And I'm like, what the fuck fight are they watching, you know? And then she came back out in the second round. They didn't give her any sort of tips, or they didn't tell her to calm the fuck down. They didn't tell her to let Holly come to her. You know what I mean? Because it was just obvious that her going after Holly was, it wasn't working. You're like, no, take a deep breath. Take a step back. You know, and reassess and reevaluate the shit. Don't be so emotional. Because she was super fucking emotional, man. And she was just running after her. She's just running. And she was getting popped and tagged and elbowed. It was, I don't know what the fuck was going on in that corner, man. What kind of stupid shit they was telling her. You're doing great. You're doing fine. No. Anyway, let me get off that beating a dead horse. Thumbs up to both of them, Holly and Ronda. They did a great job. Makes the division a lot more interesting now. I'll give it. Actually, this loss was a blessing in disguise, man, as far as the women's, I think it's bantamweight championship or the bantamweight standings as far as the females are concerned. Okay, let's talk about the terrorist attacks in France. Don't really give two shits about that. You know, I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. You know, you got the world superpowers playing just tic-tac-toe over there in Europe. And, yeah, the Muslims are going to do their thing. You know, the Muslims' main thing is terrorism. And, you know, the West, the European countries, their main thing is just overall just military dominance. And the Muslim countries do not have the military means to actually fight off imperialism from the United States or from Europe. So what do? They use terroristic tactics. It's a no-brainer. Not to mention that the United States and, matter of fact, United States, Saudi Arabia, they all fund terrorism, you know? Shit, let me see. Going all the way back to the Mujahideen in the 1980s, where the United States funded so-called freedom fighters in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. You know, and then the Mujahideen, I think they changed their name to basically Al-Qaeda. And then now, in order to confuse niggas once again, they've changed their name to ISIS or ISIL. You know, so, you know, people over here whining, bitching, and crying about terrorist shit. But, you know, we have pockets within the government who are basically funding ISIS. They're giving them money. They're giving them surface-to-air missiles. They're giving them all sorts of good shit to use in order to fund terrorism. America must have a boogeyman to keep fostering and keep pushing in and encroaching in on these areas and using imperialistic tactics to take over the Middle East. And this can't be done unless you have a boogeyman. You gotta create the boogeyman. Therefore, you must fund them. You know, and the main spot they're really trying to get at is Syria. You know, you're going to keep seeing that name pop up all the time. Syria. And I believe that this is one of the nations over there in the Middle East that doesn't have they're not beholden to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank, which is, you know, used by the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and whatnot, man. They really want to get their hands on Syria, man. And so, of course, coincidentally, the terrorists that did that shit in France are quote unquote from Syria, which gives America the green light to go in and bomb Syria. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it the imperialism or was it the terrorism? Terrorism is basically a reaction to the American imperialistic agendas, which allows us to go in and bomb and kill innocent people. And in turn, you have the males of those nations highly agitated and pissed off, and they join terrorist groups trying to get back at a motherfucker. So, you know, kind of folk don't understand this shit. They don't really dig reading about the real deal that goes on with politics overseas, man, or foreign policy, so to speak. But yeah, it's bullshit, man. I don't get wrapped up in that shit because I know that the West basically funds the Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, and then everybody kind of like got on got hip to the whole thing. Was like, oh, wait a minute, we fund Al-Qaeda? So they had to be slick, man. They had to rename them. They had to give them a different name because people were starting to catch on. So they changed their name to ISIS. Now people are, they're dumbfounded. They're all stupid again. But wait a minute, you know. So yeah, man, it's like, come on, boy. We in the Matrix, nigga. We are in the Matrix. The West funds terrorism. We fund them, you know. We always need a boogeyman, you know. Before it was communism, it was the Red Scare. And then, you know, now we have this foreign and domestic policy when it comes to terrorism. Be on the lookout for terror alert. Like, I don't bother with that shit, man.
been thinking all of this time. Oh, baby, what I wouldn't do.
Would
be spending my days with you. Oh, love is all in your eyes. Love fire burning for me. You stay.
What's next? Talk about domestic terrorism, where there's all sorts of so-called Fruit Loops going around shooting people with guns. And once again, gun control. Gun control keeps popping up. People keep asking, so when are we actually going to do something? When are we going to do something? But all these mass murders that keep happening with gun control. Like, what do you want done? What do you want done? They keep asking legal ways to stop people from shooting other people. What do you want done? That hasn't been done already. You already have background checks. I mean, so what do you want? What more do you want? Shit, the criminals are not giving two shits about a background check. So I'm not understanding what the fuck these liberals keep talking about. We need more checks and balances. We need more, like, what? What more do you want? You're not gonna stop. If people wanna be Fruit Loops, nigga, they gonna be Fruit Loops. You know? And not to mention the fact that I think that most of this shit, I know this is where I put on my tinfoil hat, but I actually think that a lot of this shit is government mind control shit. They actually have that sort of shit, man.
they actually have that sort of shit going on, where they can make people pop the fuck off, you know, do some shit, and then snap them right back to reality, and they're not even none the wiser about what they've done. And I know this for a fact because with the psychotropic drugs that they used to give me when I was in the military and when I was working for the prison, I would have these blank spots, man. I would literally do things where, like I said, I would have missing pockets in time. You know, I would have like 2 or 3 missing hours where I don't remember what the fuck I did. I don't remember where the fuck I went. I would lose track of time. You know what I mean? And if you go ahead and you combine those drugs with hypnosis and just all sort of compartmentalization techniques, nigga, it could be done. I'm a living witness of that shit. I stopped taking that shit, man. I was a prime candidate to be a ticking time bomb. If they ever really wanted to, you know, find a candidate to do some stupid shit, anybody that's on those psychotropic drugs, man, they're a hop, skip, and a jump away from being a government patsy. Shit. So what drugs was I taking? I was taking Wellbutrin and Risperdal and of course Xanax. Yeah, stop taking all that shit, man. Cause I'd be like, fuck, man. I would have conversations with people. I wouldn't remember having conversations. I would go places and do things, and I wouldn't remember, you know, going places and doing shit. I would take medication. I would lay down, and I would wake up like maybe like an hour later, and I would think it's a day later. You know, that shit used to fuck me up, man. So yeah, put my tinfoil hat on that one. And also, you gotta look at the timing. Like, why all of a sudden all of this, you know, terrorist shit just popping off the pages? Why just, you know, the timing of it? The timing. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, awfully convenient. We've got all this shit happening just like all at once. You know, everything's building up to a crescendo. You know, but far be it from me, I will not be a puppet of the fucking mass media. It's not gonna happen, son. I've been around the goddamn track a couple times, man. So, no, I'm not really... Shit doesn't faze me, man. I don't get 2 fucks about none of that shit, man. I know it's pretty much propaganda, and it's meant to manipulate motherfuckers into just... it's a class of civilizations, man. Right now, we got so much division going on with everybody in the United States, man. You know, you got men against women, and especially in the black community, man. It's like you got so-called coons against so-called toms. You got the black man against the black woman. And, you know, you got white folks against the black folks. And you got the citizens against the cops. Man, it's just all this infighting. Motherfuckers could not come together and stop government corruption if they wanted to, because everybody's so busy fighting amongst themselves. They have done a masterful job, man. I sit back and I just... It's like eating a delicious steak, man, because I do so admire a real good social engineering. I do. I admire just, you know, the cleverness and the wisdom that it takes to just out-chess people continuously. People getting out-chessed, man, outmaneuvered. Man, I'm like, damn, boy, and it just never stops. It just never goddamn stops, man. So from here on out, you know, I just kind of like chimed in on a couple of recent joints, man, that I've kind of like neglected to talk about. You know, I'm going to go ahead and throw some cutting room floor shit on here. I think I'm going to be talking about ghetto babies and badass kids and some shit about, yeah, how I'm just kind of getting sick of The Walking Dead, how each nigga on The Walking Dead is retarded, man, except for the black women. The black women seem to be strong, and they pretty much have their heads straight, and they seem to be just much more valuable within the group. But the black men seem to be crying and whining and useless and drunks and just ninnies, man, nincompoops, man. Can't get shit right. You know what I mean? Just useless as far as the overall effectiveness of the goddamn group, man. So I think I don't know if I can find that. We'll see. I did a while ago, but I never posted it and shit. All right. Fat Mac, Almighty Triple XL, and I'm out. It's November 1st, man, 2015. I'm watching Walking Dead. And once again, niggas doing dumb shit, man. Morgan's a fucking basket case. Thanks to this nigga, he done got the white boy bit. The white boy that was training him, trying to civilize him, bring his ass back from the brink of just insanity. This motherfucker, man. Oh my god, man. I like, it just never stops, man. All these niggas on here is just, they useless. These niggas is useless, man. Okay, so what we got here is Morgan. He goes from one extreme to the other, it would seem. In this episode, he's basically a basket case. He has to kill everything. He has to clear shit out. He gotta kill everything. Everything must die. He goes to the other polar opposite, the other polar extreme of, we don't have to kill. Kill for no reason. I'm like, what? Come on, man. For everything, there is a season, man. You have to be flexible. So, like I said in previous episodes, he letting everybody live that need to die so these motherfuckers can come back and bite him on the ass. Morgan done fucked up. Morgan did some dumb shit, got the white boy bit. Going on. White boy sacrificed himself, got bit in the back. God damn it. I knew it was coming. I said, in this episode, Morgan is going to fuck up monumentally somehow and get this white boy killed. 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 White boy killed.
Love lost.
Almighty Triple X Sale, live and direct from MaxCity.com to Max City Limits. Boy, this shit is too fun. Man, boy, niggas never cease to amaze me in their emotions, man. Shit, that last show was just, it was very interesting, man. Very interesting indeed. Well, if y'all missed the Ben Fields podcast where me and Tony Dreamer discussed the whole, should I say, classroom debacle that happened with teenage girl. I'm still not sure how old she is. I kept getting reports she was from 16 to 18. I don't know. It really is irrelevant to me. But yeah, man, niggas is in their feelings, man. Niggas is in their feelings. I've heard many testimonials for and against Ben Fields and for and against the chick. So I don't really know what to believe, but once again, that's irrelevant to me. You know, I've heard the chick really wasn't doing nothing all that bad. You know, she just refused to give up her phone. Shit. And then I'm saying, then of course I'm looking at social media, and I'm seeing all these kids walking out of their school, walking out of their class for Ben Fields. You know what I mean? They're basically protesting on behalf of Ben Fields because I guess they feel he got a raw deal. You know, so of course these are black students, and a lot of people think that there's something wrong with these black students for sticking up for a racist. You know, I'm just saying, it just makes sense that these kids actually know him better than you, nigga. As a motherfucker that's never met the motherfucker. So, I'm just saying, man, you know, we got these niggas out here talking about these kids got Stockholm Syndrome and other stupid shit like that. I mean, could it be that they actually know this dude? You know, they actually know him. So, once again, me and Tony, we didn't get caught on that stupid shit about racism or whatever. We too deep in the game, we know better, man. Too deep in the game, we know better. Bottom line is, the broad started the ball rolling. And, you know, you can't really complain about what you get in the end if you start down that road on that path and shit. Now, let me say this once again. We have a perception that many of you can't really appreciate because this is our life. This is what the fuck we do. You know what I mean? Tony, as a bail bondsman, you know, that's all he deals with is ratchet, stupid shit. And he can see the logical progression or the progression of ratchet behavior in teenagers and children coming all the way up to adulthood. You know, because he has a lot of close-knit ties to certain families, you know, because basically what happens is you have certain families who have criminal behavior, and they're always calling them, you know, get the fuck sprung out of jail, you know? So, and me, my profession's in the past, man. Being in foster care and being in, and working in the prison, man. Our very existence has been to try and stop the children from becoming victims of the prison industrial complex. We really have tried, and we've really done a lot of things that a lot of people deem questionable, but that's only because most of y'all have never had your boots on the ground. Most of y'all have never, ever been put in a position or a situation where you got to make a tough call or command decision as it's pertaining to a so-called child, right? I've been assaulted by children, or we'll just say children for argument's sake, because, 17 and 18-year-olds, from 6 years old to 18-year-olds just thoroughly flex their fucking muscles and do just totally dumb shit. You know what I mean? And all of them dangerous. Believe that shit. All of them are dangerous. And I have dedicated my life, or I did. I have since retired. I got gray hairs. I don't have the time or the energy to fuck around no more, man. So, yeah, tried and was very successful, man. Shoot, got 3 boys in college. I have 8 sons, and I've fostered and I've mentored many more than that, but only really 8 of them stuck around. You know, 8 of them was like, hey, this nigga Big Mike, he kind of crazy, you know what I mean? But I could tell he care, you know what I mean? So they stuck around, and I got 8 of them, and like 3 went to college. Not all of them graduated. I had 2 that didn't graduate. I got 1 who's in and out of the prison industrial complex, you know what I mean? But all of them are pretty much gainfully employed. And like I said, they turned out pretty good, man. They turned out pretty good. So, I'm happy about that, especially due to the fact that the road that the majority of them was on was definitely, all of them was definitely headed for prison or death, you know, with that gang shit they was on, right? So, So when I see here and I look at this shit on Main Street Media, it don't faze me, man. This shit don't faze me. I've been there. I've done that. I've had my boots on the ground. I've been knee deep in the professions that a lot of y'all have no idea and have no clue about. So, you can take it for what it's worth. Not to mention, man, I just have a myriad of experiences with children doing shit, and it's not being nipped in the bud, and it just progresses, and it progresses, and it progresses. I remember, back early, like 1993, 94, I remember I bought my first house. I was proud of my first house. Wasn't necessarily in the best neighborhood and shit, but goddamn it, it was my house. You know, me and the wife and kids bought it. And the houses and, like I said, the overall area wasn't necessarily what you would call, you know, a white picket fence area, man. It was some niggatry going on, man, in that neighborhood. And I had the distinct pleasure and honor of moving across the street from a crackhead. Now, this chick, she had a son. His name was Sonny. Okay? Sonny was like 10 years old, little fat kid, man. And when I first met him, he was just as cute as he wanted to be, man. Just, he was so jovial and just so happy. And he was just happy to see new people move in. And he wanted to play with my boys and shit. And soon it became apparent that this was going to be a rough ride. This was going to be, because Sonny was a goddamn fool. Okay? Yeah, so he would come over to my crib. He'd bang on the door. Just banging on the door louder than a son bitch, man. Bang, 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 bang. This little nigga had like some abandonment issues or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like if you ignored him, he would flip the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? And I would come to the door. I'm like, what in the fuck? And then he would get all polite. He'd be like, hey, Mr. Mike. He's like, can I play with Michael and Marcus? And I'd be like, oh, ain't that cute? Ain't that cute? Okay. You know, I would ignore and I would kind of like overlook his overzealous knocking. And then they'd start playing and shit, man. But pretty soon it just became more apparent that this little nigga, like I said, he had issues, man. One day I come out and I look at my car and I'm looking at my window on my car and I see like pellets and BB marks. You know, the little nigga had shot up my goddamn car. You know what I mean? Of course, I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, I just kind of like camped out in the front of my yard and I seen his ass, you know, coming around the back of his house. And I could see him with a pellet rifle. And he just going to town. He just shooting at every goddamn thing. I'm like, this little nigga, man. Seriously? I'm like, damn. So, of course, I go to his mama. I'm like, hey, your boy's shooting up my shit, man. And, of course, she don't give a fuck. She like, ow. I'm like, oh. She like, ow. Well, what you want me to do about it? I'm like, okay. I can see right now this is gonna end bad. This shit's gonna end bad, man. Shit. And then the wife one day, she decides to start planting like flowers in the garden, you know. Like I said, it's our first house. She's out there tilling the ground, tilling the soil, getting all the shit, you know, she's getting into it, man, getting her green thumb on. She's planting like, I don't know, petunias or some shit. I can't remember, man. But, of course, the shit starts to grow. She's all proud of it. The shit's starting to grow, starting to look pretty around the house. And guess what, man? You know, after fucking like 2-3 months of trying to grow these pretty flowers, guess what happens? Sonny comes over and tramples on all the goddamn petunias. Just running through it. Just running through, trampling on all the goddamn petunias, man. And I catch you doing it. Like, hey, Sonny. Yes, Mr. Mike. I'm like, little nigga. I'm like, why are you running through the goddamn garden? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, this little nigga did that shit on purpose. He did that shit on purpose. You know, and I'm trying to be cool. You know, I'm trying to be cool. But it just seems like with each slight, with each infraction this little nigga do, it just emboldens him to just keep doing more fuck shit. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. You know, counting to 10, I'm being cool. And then one day he come over again. Bang, 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 bang. It's like a week later. Bang, bang, you know. I'm like, hey, don't be knocking on my door like that. I'm sick of your shit, man, for real. You know, I'm starting to lose my patience. Starting to lose my goddamn. I'm like, don't be knocking on my shit no more, man. He's like, can I play with Michael and Marcus? I'm like, they ain't here. They doing homework. Which is what your ass should be doing. Take your ass home, do some goddamn homework or whatever. And he just, okay. So I leave. I go back to the bedroom because me and the wife, we was about to get it in. Shit. I'm back there. You know, I hear the door, like, not slam, but you know how you got, like, a screen door. And if somebody comes in it and you could hear the screen door just slightly close and shit. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking it was that, from me opening up the screen door to talk to him. And then when I left back, you know, it just naturally closed by itself. You know what I mean? So I wasn't sure if he had came in or if that was for me or whatever, but I was too blind to it because I was about to get it in. Right. So I come back out, maybe like an hour later. And then all of a sudden I start hearing, cause I had a German Shepherd at the time. And this German Shepherd had a shock collar on. I remember vividly, big as shit, man. Had a shock collar. Shiva, who's my German Shepherd, she started freaking the fuck out, man. The shock collar started just going, just shocking the shit out of her. Shocking the shit out of her. You know what I mean? I'm like, the fuck going on with the shock collar? You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, so I'm looking around because I'm looking for my keys because I got the shock collar remote on my keys. So I find my keys, and guess what? The shock collar remote is gone. And I'm like, where the fuck is it? So immediately I'm thinking, There's only one answer to this shit. Because I just had the shit, man, about 4 hours ago. Now, all of a sudden, my shit is gone. And I'm thinking Sonny done came in my shit and stole the goddamn remote, you know? And so, of course, I go outside, and I'm looking around, and he's nowhere to be found, you know? But the shock collar is still zapping my dog, so I got to tackle my dog, which is, it's not a good idea to tackle a German Shepherd being shocked by a shock collar. Shiva was not happy, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I mean, she kind of took a little chunk out my arm that day because I had to get the collar off of her due to the fact that this little motherfucker was shocking my dog. But of course, I couldn't necessarily see where the boy was at. The shock collar remote had like a radius, it's like 70 yards or something. So he could have been anywhere. More than likely, he was in his goddamn crib because he stayed right across the street. So after I get the shock collar off my dog, I go across the street. And then, you know, I'm knocking on the door trying to be cool. The crackhead mama comes to the door. Yes, Mike. I'm like, where's Sonny? I don't know. I'm like, well, I need to see Sonny because Sonny, I'm pretty sure that he's the culprit in the latest bullshit that's going on in my house. My shock collar remote is gone, and I think that he has it, and he's been shocking my dog. And I want to talk to him. Every time something go wrong, you fucking with my son. You fucking with Sonny. Sonny ain't dead nothing. Sonny, he this, and Sonny's got issues, and Sonny's got problems. And every time something bad go, you always think it's Sonny. I'm like, where's Sonny? I mean, I'm like, lose. I'm about close to just punching this bitch in the face. I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there bleeding with, you know, puncture wounds in my forearm and shit because my dog flipped the fuck out. And so she basically goes and hollering for Sonny, and Sonny's in his bedroom, right? And she goes back. She like, Sonny, come in. Sonny comes out. And, you know, I'm already hip to body language, me working in a prison, me dealing with foster kids and shit. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. He guilty in the son, bitch. I'm like, Sonny, give me my goddamn remote. Hold up. Don't be cussing at my son. I'm like, look. I ain't got time to fucking play with you, for real. This shit gonna end today, for real. So she like, Sonny, do you have his remote? Do you have his remote? And it was just wild, man. It was, you know, little nigga reached in his pocket and gave the remote. Bigger and shit right then and there. Took the remote, went back over to the spot. You know, and I was just, you know, I had to kind of like calm myself down. You know, I really didn't have anything else to say, really didn't have no words, but I was just thinking, you know, just the progression of the fuck shit, you know, how it just got bolder and bolder and bolder, you know what I mean? But, I mean, pretty soon, I just said to myself, because I actually had called the police on him on a previous time where he had, like I said, he had shot holes in my car windows, and he had actually shot holes in my picture window in my house, and I actually called the police. But of course, you know, when you call the police, they can't do shit because he's a goddamn juvenile. You know what I mean? Plus, you gotta prove it. Of course, he did have the BB gun or the rifle, but you know, unless you catch him doing it, unless you catch him on video, it's just all kinds of fuck shit. So I made up my mind, I got to do this solo. I gotta do this shit solo, or it's never gonna stop. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's no way in hell, me as a grown-ass man, I'm going to be held hostage by this little cocksucker, man. You know what I'm saying? So, one day, I'm barbecuing. You know what I'm saying? I'm barbecuing. I knew Sonny's fat ass was going to come over. Sonny has no shame. Sonny don't give a fuck. You know, Sonny still wants to come over and be part of the family. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm like cooking, you know, and he's smelling the barbecue and shit. Instead of his mama saying, look, don't go over there fucking with them people no more. She don't give a fuck. She ain't paying a lick of attention to Sonny. So Sonny come over. Hey, Mr. Mike. Hey, can I have something to eat? You know, I'm like, ah, here's my chance. Because I'm barbecuing in the backyard, right? So I'm looking around. I'm making sure ain't no witnesses. I'm like, excuse me, Sonny? He like, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? I'm like, yeah, man, come on back, man, get you a burger, man, come on back, get you a burger. Man, he came across, man, he came to the back, he was like, wow, that smells good, Mr. Mike. And so, as soon as he turned the corner, like I said, make sure there wasn't no witnesses. And this is what Ben Field should have done. You know, Ben fucked up. Ben didn't play the game right, okay? So a lot of you, I'm kind of deviating here, but a lot of you motherfuckers is like, that's why he got fired. They're like, man, I'm not going to lose no sleep over him getting fired. He didn't play the game right. He went ahead and took it a step further with witnesses. You don't do that. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to go ahead and play the game, got to play the game right. Shit. He took it to, you know, he took it a step above it where it needed to be done. And he, you know, people seen what happened. They have cell phones. So, nigga, it is what it is. Shit. If you get fired, you get fired. Just like, you know, when I'm in the prison and I'm showing these motherfuckers, look, you can't sell dope. You know what I'm saying? Because when my superiors come to me and they say, look, I need you to go to this cell and I need you to look for some dope. Okay. And a lot of times if, you know, if the dude was cool, a lot of times, and if they sent me by myself, I would just take the dope and flush it. But if they sent a white boy with me, you know, hey, nigga, it is what it is. I gots to cuff you and stuff you. This is the game, nigga. You got to learn how to play the game. I can't tell my superiors, no, I'm not going to go down there and look for no dope because I know the United States government flies in dope for the brothers to sell. I can't do that, nigga. No. So everybody's got their role to play in the game, okay? And you got to play your role accordingly in order to not get jammed up. But anyway, back to Sonny's dumbass. Soon as Sonny come around the corner, man, I literally pick this nigga up by his neck and I start choking this motherfucker, man. Keep in mind, he only 10 years old. Boy, I can go to prison for this shit. I ain't give a fuck. I'm choking the shit. He's like, he can't scream. He can't do nothing. He can't cry. His motherfucking oxygen is cut off. I'm like, you little motherfucker. I'm like, if I catch you over here ever again, I'm going to kill you, nigga. I swear to God on my life, I'm going to kill you and your whole motherfucking family. You and your goddamn bitch ass mama. I was losing it, son. I was like, we not going to do this shit. So he's like kicking his feet and shit because I got him up in the air. I got him held up on the back of the house. Man, you know, and, you know, it was only maybe like a 5-6 second choke. Then I let him down. He ran home crying. He said, I'll tell him my mom. I'll tell him my mom. Like, fuck you, nigga. Fuck you. Fuck you. I was fully expecting to go to prison or go to jail that day. You know, but of course, they couldn't prove it. I didn't leave no marks. And the police did come by. And they did question me about it. But of course, I denied all. I denied everything. Shit. Oh, Sonny. Statute of limitations is over, nigga. Shit, man. But check it out, man. Check it out, man. It turned out all good because after that, Sonny never came back over. I never had another problem out of Sonny. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, I did have one more problem out of Sonny. But after that, I had to fight fire with fire. You know, I basically had other kids in the neighborhood that would take care of Sonny, you know, if I needed him taken care of. And I did have a low-key hit squad, you know, go visit Sonny one time after that. You know what I mean? And after that, Sonny knew that I wasn't playing. So I'm saying all that to say this, man, you know, I've never been one to let no motherfucking child hold me hostage doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't really know how the fuck Sonny turned out. I don't really give a fuck, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. The prison industrial complex is waiting on these motherfuckers. I got tons of badass kid stories, man. I don't know if I remember telling y'all about the one ratchet ass bitch that kept sending her son over my house. And shit, he was even younger than Sonny. He was probably like 7 or 8. But she kept sending her son over to my... This is in the WIC days where you would have, you know, eggs, milk, and cheese delivered to your door. And, this bitch, she lived right next door to me. It was kind of like low-key in the, I won't say, it was like half and half in the projects. You know, it was in some apartments, but it was kind of like some ratchet-ass apartments and shit, man. This one bitch, light-skinned bitch, big titties, she actually liked me, but for some strange reason, of course, since she knew she couldn't have a nigga, the bitch was like on some some Fatal Attraction shit, just doing just needlessly just some fuck shit to me, man. And she would always steal our goddamn wig, but I didn't know it at the time, but I speculated. This bitch is stealing our shit. You know what I mean? So I said one day, after like the third time our shit came up missing, I brought all the milk, egg, and cheese shit into the crib. I sprayed it all with industrial strength, like mace and pepper spray. You know, I mean, the good shit, you know, that law enforcement uses. I doused all that shit, man. Then I put it right back out on the porch, and I just waited. I heard the door open next door. I waited. I heard some shuffling at my front door, and I waited. Then I heard the door next door close, and I waited. Oh, shit. And then before I knew it, man, it was probably maybe like 2 minutes later, I heard some screaming and yelling. All hell broke loose next door, man. Her son was motherfucking heat. That little nigga was on fire, nigga. He was like, ah, mama, mama. This nigga, boy. And then all I heard was all kinds of shit going on in the kitchen. Come on, I mean, like, cheap ass apartments, man. You the very thin walls and shit. I see this, I'm hearing this bitch trying to douse this little motherfucking water to get all the pepper spray off his hands and off his face. And, you know, and then this bitch, she come over knocking on my door and she looked me dead in my face. And I'm opening, I open the door and I'm like, I'm waiting on it. Cause actually, I had like a recorder on me. I was gonna record the whole conversation. But, you know, what the bitch gonna say? What is this bitch gonna say? How dare you douse your wick with pepper spray so that when my son steal it, he gonna get burnt up? I mean, what's this hoe gonna say? You know what I mean? So, yeah, bitch. That's right. You fucking with the wrong one. Shit, man. I mean, I got tons of stories where, like I said, it's just kids. And it's just kind of sad because, like I said, it's a situation where the parents are just pieces of shit. And whenever you can see a piece of shit child, you pretty much know what's at home. It's a piece of shit goddamn parent, man. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I've been involved in many a situation where I've tried valiantly to stop children from going into the prison industrial complex. You know what I mean? And it didn't always work, like I said, but I tried. And I did a pretty good job. And even when I'm in prison, you know, I tried to make the, should I say, the stay as tolerant as possible for the cats that was under my supervision in the prison, so to speak. You know what I mean? I mean, I smuggled in books and smuggled out letters. You know, I stopped niggas from getting drugs and, weapons planted on them. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of shit, man, to try and make things right. You know, within the prison industrial complex, I've tried to be the spook that sat behind the door, so to speak, man. And that's why, you know, it's just kind of funny when I got to sit back and I got to hear niggas second guess my wisdom on this shit. And I'm just trying to tell you, nothing is going to save you niggas from the prison industrial complex but a martial warfare type strategy where, you know, the honor system must be above all things. The honor system where you just have to just be supreme in your conduct. That's the only way you're going to do this shit, man. It's the only way. And all this crying and whining and boo-hooing about they mistreating us, you know. Man, I'm trying to tell y'all, man. I've been there. I've been in it. I've been doing it all my life. Tony's been doing it all his life. We know what it take. And you coddling that little girl because she... And of course, like I said, I've heard different stories on it now, and I don't know which ones to believe. People saying that she didn't deserve it. Some people saying she did. It's irrelevant. What she should have done was just give up the goddamn cell phone and get it back at the end of the day. That's all you had to do, you know? Shit. But, nah, man, you know, we champion ratchet behavior, man. We champion just lawless behavior. We champion motherfuckers that's always acting out of pocket and shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, y'all want to go ahead and debate that, I know. You know, well, the, you know, the punishment must fit the crime. And, you know, look, I'm not here to debate that fuck shit, man. From a martial arts standpoint, if you really want to understand what the highest level of fighting is, of course, I've told y'all before, is to not get in a position to be in a fight in the first fucking place. And that's a lesson that she failed miserably, you know? So you had two authority figures who were black trying to, you know, speak to you rationally to give up your cell phone. And then you go ahead and put yourself in a position to get dog walked and molly whopped. Well, okay. Shit. Bitch, you got to play the game. And you played the game. And from the onset or from a short sighted sense, you lost. But when you're looking at the long game, yeah, I mean, it would appear that she won, because I bet she's going to get paid off this shit. Stop crying for this little motherfucker, man. She going to get paid. Shit. Motherfuckers all crying about this shit, man. But, nah, man. You're not going to find us enabling this sort of behavior. It's not going to happen, man. And if you want to catch this, you know, wringing your hands about it, I'm not going to judge you, nigga. Wring your hands about it. You know, be upset about it. You know, that's... You know, it's perfectly all right with me, you know, but, you know, me and Tony, we are not going to waste our energy on this fuck shit, man. You know, we are not going to enable the behavior. We are not going to sit back and watch ratchet shit become the order of the day. I mean, it already is the order of the day, but we're not going to help it. We're not going to help it. We're not going to aid and abet this shit. We want the concept of self-mastery to be the order of the day. That's what we want. We want the concept of self-mastery, you know, so that it becomes damn near impossible for so-called white supremacy, you know, to get over on you. You know what I mean? Shit. If that's y'all's stance, y'all believe that white supremacy is beating us up, you know, the concept of self-mastery will help curb that. You know, everything starts with the self, starts with self. And, you know, I know, you know, a lot of niggas still want to, you know, play that victim shit, man. Take it from me, motherfucker that's been knee deep in it. Take it from Tony, who's knee deep in it, who sees it and deals with it every day. The prison industrial complex, the ratchet behavior, you know, the dusty nigga shit. The only way up out of this shit is the whole concept and the art of self-mastery, man. Shit. That's it.
The samurai, in his hands, slashing steel became the ultimate weapon of vengeance. And the ultimate samurai was Ogami Ito. He lived in a time of warlords and murderous clans. A time when oppressors took what they wanted, protected by the vicious mercenaries of the blade.
The governor's samurai are fast too, Ogami. It's their power you're afraid of.
Ogami stood alone against them all.
Ogami. We'll kill you if you try to leave. You cannot stand against us.
Then kill me. He traveled a vengeance trail marked by the blood of his enemies.
Stop! Don't die for no reason. We'll leave this fight to somebody whose skill is as great as his.
A master of the blade couldn't stop him. Hired assassins couldn't touch him. And the elite palace guards fell under his sword. Then, in the Valley of Hell, they threw an army at him, and he threw it back, a piece at a time. Thank you. Ogami was a one-man war. In his hands, cold steel became lightning swords of death. Raise a kung fu fist against Ogami Ito, and he'll chop it off, chop it off, chop it off, chop it off.
Yeah.